Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud. Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And today we're just going to do an episode on me being in Sweeney Todd.
So Mallory's in a production of Sweeney Todd right now. And she has been called upon for many of her skills. She's not like a triple threat. She's like become like a quintuple threat in the show because she's cooking and sewing and
yeah,
what
like,
else are you doing? Singing,
acting. It's like I'm
acting.
A homemaker of the show or
yeah,
something. You
yeah.
know? Actually, I've done something.
Been calling her the highly valuable cast
yeah,
member.
Yeah, like the MVP.
Right.
I actually did something I haven't told you about yet that I'm
uh-oh.
Super. So this is just going to go along with costuming. I know we did our series, but it's October.
Right. And we're probably going to do a Halloween
yes,
thing.
Yes, we think we're
going to
do
a
little Halloween-y episode. But some cool things have come up that I thought would be fun to share. And we have quite a few musical theater fans in our
yeah, we do.
Well,
group. And we have, you know, the cosplay people.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, the Ren people. All of those people kind of overlap, don't they?
It's really
All of that overlaps, like people dressing up for fun.
I never thought about it the way you said it last or whatever podcast that was. You're like, you don't have to wait to Halloween. I'm like, yeah, you
yeah,
dress
not
up,
anymore. You
dress
used
up
to
all
have
cool
to
for you know well, just to be cool.
I actually just
have
bought
fun.
Some holographic like crushed ice lycra stuff to put some appliques
uh-huh.
on an aerial costume, and the man's cutting the fabric and he goes. No, I got 2 yards. I only needed like a half yard, but for what I was
uh-huh.
doing. And he goes, what are you going to do with this? And I said, well, I think I'm thinking this is going to work for some applique on a costume I need. I said, but then again, I think I need some leggings so I can
yeah.
be like a mermaid,
I just,
like in my real life. And he goes, why not?
I want to make a bomber jacket out of that
yeah.
holographic stuff.
Yeah.
I just want to like wear it all the time. Oh, man.
I mean, well, and you know what? The way that the technology has changed in textiles, we can do so many things. I mean, you can be glittery without having to have sequins that are sewn on silk, you know, to do
no,
it.
No, there
things
is.
Like that.
I can see it from here. I'm like,
right.
I'm looking at the fabric.
Right.
It's so amazing.
And it's durable.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like as durable as a denim jacket, maybe.
Sure,
but,
sure.
But it is durable enough that it doesn't have to be just a costume.
Yeah.
That's worn for 3 minutes on stage and then taken back and delicately put away till the next time. I mean, it can go through the washing machine. Now, you know, I just made some things. I'm going to tell everybody to wash them by hand and lay them out flat
yeah.
to dry.
Yeah.
But, mostly that is because they're a multitude
of fibers
of different
and
fabrics,
yes.
right? And, you know, why chance it? Plus, it is a costume, what
costumes,
I just made.
Yeah,
I mean, they're not going to wear a unitard that has cutouts and, you know, sequins all over it probably for every day
I just
stuff.
Posted on social media that I can't get you to wear anything but your Ariel costume. She's wearing it when we came up here to podcast. She's,
okay, I was doing my final fitting.
And wear it all
nobody's
time.
Helped me do any fittings for this or anything. I've had to do them all on myself.
ZD needs help with fitting? I don't think so. Okay, all right. I'm not going to be made to feel bad about that.
Okay. So what did you do that I don't know about on Sweeney Todd?
Well, I'll get to that. Let's start out with the story.
Okay.
You're going to be really proud of me, though.
Okay.
Okay, so this production was kind of interesting because it is a very small cast. It's a cast of 12, whereas this could be a cast of like 30 people.
Right.
And so the ensemble plays many different characters.
Well, I've noticed, I mean, when I saw it, one of the things that struck me was there are no small parts here.
Yeah, the people
I mean,
are doing a lot of
stuff. Everybody's very busy, yes.
And that's kind of neat. And those of you who are unfamiliar with theater or something, I was just thinking about how cool this sort of is because, so this is Sweeney Todd, the demon barber of Fleet Street. Sweeney Todd is a man who was wronged by the criminal justice system in Victorian England.
Right. It's the age-old story of, you know, I'm going to get them back for what they did
yes.
to me.
So he seeks
revenge.
So
there's a lot of irony.
Yes, he seeks revenge, and then, of course, it ends up destroying him.
Right.
And he kills people with a razor. He's a barber, so he slits some people's throats. I do get to have my throat slit.
Right.
I get to die. It's really fun. And there's another guy who does, too, and he gets his throat slit twice. He's in two different costumes. And, of course, people can tell this is the same.
Yes, he was killed
actor,
twice. I saw him, yes.
But it's sort of what this does.
It's all right, yeah.
You know, theater is a mirror. And
that's
so
right.
I feel like it kind of lets you know, like, oh, this could be anybody. This could be me. I could be in this role. I've wanted revenge before. I've been taken advantage of before. Could mm-hmm. I have been the collateral of someone else's rage? Could I, you know, all this stuff. And so I think it's really neat.
Or maybe I shouldn't hold such a grudge and just let it go, because obviously it's not real healthy.
Well, if this production gets ZD to let go of grudges, I don't know. I'm going to...
Yeah, because I have all these grudges. Yeah.
Okay. So, I very small cast, and the production team was awesome. But the original costumer who signed up to do this, I guess, overbooked themselves, and so they had to call somebody else in
last
minute.
Which is very common in the theater. Right?
You know,
it
I just think...
It is. I think people, creative people can do this sometimes.
Yeah, so I think, really, when I first heard, I thought there was going to be, like, a bunch of drama or something.
Right.
And it really wasn't much drama, except that they did have to find a different costumer, you know. And the person they found, I'm not going to say anybody's name because, like, I haven't asked their permission,
right.
You know. And there are some people who listen who are local, you know. So the person they found to do it was actually already involved in another production, had to come in last minute. And the director.
She's actually an actor, right? A character
in the
other
production. She's also an actor in another production.
Right.
Yeah. And she has a job, you know, like a real job. And so the director said
well,
to me.
Well, and that is the other thing. It being community theater.
Right.
People have other obligations.
Other than this.
Right.
So the director came to me and said, I know you're already doing a lot for this show.
Because she was making 144 hand pies.
But 168.
Oh. An extra dozen I didn't
two,
know about.
Extra
two
dozen.
Extra dozen I didn't know about.
14 dozen, I believe, is 168.
Oh, okay.
So I volunteered to make the pies. I think I've told the story about how Sam was like, no, you didn't. And I was like, I just had to. So I'm making the pies. They wanted real pies for us to eat. And she said, I know you're doing a lot. And I said, just ask me what you need. And if I have to, I'll say no.
Right.
She said, we have a, you know, a new customer. And if she needs any help, can she ask you for some alterations
right.
or something? And I said, yes, as long as she just lets me know
ahead of time. Yeah.
And then I
that
had a little flashback
stuff.
To previous experiences. And I just said to the director, who I don't know very well, are you sure you have someone? I just want to be sure.
Don't trick me into
this.
Like,
I was like, if I have to do the show, just tell me right now. You know, and I couldn't have done it. I don't know.
Well, and I couldn't have done it because I was doing, right, I'm doing my
show. Future podcast
episode
or your costumes for your
right.
thing. Yeah, so anyway, just alterations. Okay, so I did get some alteration work to do. One thing was a dress that had been tucked up. It was a pretty full skirt. It had three large... very large pleats in it to make it shorter. And
sure.
She said, I just need these all let out.
Right.
And I was like, cool. So it was for Joanna, the young woman. You know, there are two ingenues in the play. There's a female ingenue and a male ingenue. And so Joanna needed this longer dress. So I, you know, had to take that out. And then I had to hem some pants. One of the pairs of pants is my pants because I play a woman in the first act and then I play three different men in the second act. And so on that Joanna dress, I was flashing back to our costume podcast.
Where they didn't use a different bobbin thread that you could pull, right?
I really wish that, but then also that the stitches had
was
been
it too
longer.
Close?
Yeah, yeah, they were very
yeah,
short.
If you do that, if you take a tuck in something mm-hmm. like that, at least a four. Minimum.
Yeah.
Minimum. It's okay, it's a hymn. It's not going to get any stress. It doesn't need...
It was
it doesn't...
Up. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, it did.
What happened was somebody did it. They didn't even think about the settings on the sewing machine.
Sure, no, and they were probably in a hurry, but yeah. Right. And it happens to me, too. I mean, the story I've told about the garments I've had to trash, I feel like...
But how nice would it have been if you would have known exactly which was the bobbin thread right off the bat, too?
Yeah, that would have been really nice. Yeah. And then speaking of... So I had to hem some pants, and actually, I'm not a super confident blind hemmer. Okay.
I know. I couldn't believe you didn't use the real blind hemmer. Okay. But were you doing that there or here?
I don't know how to use that machine.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Like, you need to teach me how to use it. We have a professional blind hemmer machine that works beautifully, does a wonderful job, and I don't know how to use it. Okay. So that's a really, I would love for us to do some content on that. So I'm using but I thought this was good for our listeners because
that's true.
Most sewing machines have a blind hem stitch and a blind hem foot, okay? And your manual will show you how to manipulate the fabric into this folding.
Right, it has to be folded back on itself.
It has to be folded a weird way, okay? Yeah. So what I did was I used a contrasting bobbin thread.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so these are black and brown pants. Right. And I think I used like a dark brown or charcoal and in the top thread. And then I used like this gold thread, which actually looked kind of dark brown on its own. But then next to the really dark pants, it looked really gold.
You could see it.
Yeah, I posted a picture on Facebook. Right. And so since it's blind hem, especially, no one should see that.
Right.
Right. So that was going to be very easy to take out. I had to take up the pants 2 inches for this other guy. And do you know how big my hem was in my pants?
Yours looked quite large. And was it doubled over? I couldn't tell.
It's 4 inches.
Okay. If I buy ready-to-made clothes, 4 inches is the minimum I have to take up pants.
So this already had its hem in it. It already had
so
a hem in it.
Did you just leave it?
I left the hem in. And then I folded up 4 inches because if I did 2 and 2, it was way too thick.
Right.
And like... you couldn't see it, right? I mean, tell me you couldn't see it from stage,
it's
right?
Fine.
Okay, good, good. Yeah, 4 inches. And I left
it's
all...
It's just like hemming a pair, a set of drapes.
Right, right. No, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so short, And so anyway, I left all of the length in both of these pants.
Right.
No cutting was done, right?
Which is my recommendation.
Yeah, you don't want to cut off... Especially, I was wearing tux pants. I'm wearing tux pants the whole time. In this show, I'm a man.
What do you mean?
They're tuxedo pants.
Oh, tux. I'm like, what?
Tux pants.
Like tux.
Like the hemorrhoid.
Yeah, like the hemorrhoid cream tux.
No, not that.
In America, there is this, in the U.S., there's this brand of hemorrhoid treatment called tux.
Yeah, they give it to you, too, after you have a baby.
You know,
those pads. Anyway, no, not
those. I'm like, what are you wearing up your butt while you're in that show?
Also, I love the way these pants fit.
No, they look really
nice.
Okay,
they're high up on my waist, and they have a very dropped crotch, which I have a little bit of a belly, and it really smooths that out. This is also why you don't always want to translate your actual crotch curve to a pair of pants.
Yeah.
Another time to discuss that, right?
Another story.
I look hot. Right. In these pants, okay? So I hemmed those, and we've got to do a video on this. I did not press in my blind hem in order to sew it.
Right.
This is, like, real crazy to a lot of people.
Right.
And they tell you to press it in your sewing machine manual, too.
Yeah, don't do it.
And you, especially on a little pair of pants like that with a permanent crease.
Yep.
It was not necessary.
Well, here's the deal. If you press in your hem and then you go sew it, and you could be off by a minuscule amount, like an eighth of an inch, all of a sudden that crease doesn't match up with the hang of the fabric, then you're screwed. Then you've got to worry about recreasing or uncreasing and all of that, and it doesn't always work. People were talking about vinegar and all that. It doesn't always work, guys.
That's right.
I mean, I've done that, and I've reset lapels and everything using vinegar and done it, but it doesn't always work.
And someone shared a tutorial from another sewing blog in the group.
Oh, they did? Uh-huh.
To help someone with a blind hem, you know.
Right.
And they mention they do press in the hem, and they mention you may have this crease left over and you'll have to press it out. And I was just like, oh, you know. So we've got to publish stuff on this, Mom. We got to do it, because we keep saying it that we don't press in these hems.
I mean, if you're doing it and you're successful, that's fine. But what I'm saying is I have not been pressing hems in for over 30 years, and I'm very successful with my hems.
We just really need to. The challenge for that is, like, I struggle to find. I'm like, we got to go get a pair of tux pants and hem them and get a, like, we just have to get the right samples all together to be able to show it in a video, and it's not been top priority. So anyway, okay, blind hem to those pants. Speaking of creases coming out. The three tucks that I let out.
On hers. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was like, oh, man.
Did they show?
I had to spray. I had to get the dress completely wet and then iron it to get those out, which was fine.
It was cotton, too, wasn't it?
I think
was
it was cotton poly. Uh-huh. So when I'm pressing everything, so I didn't press in the hem, in the blind hem, like before I sewed it. And then after I did sew the hem, I went over to those pants and I got my iron on polyester setting and I went with the steam.
That's all I do.
Okay. Yep. I did not, as I said in the Facebook post, I did not try to forge the pants like a blacksmith.
Right.
It was just a puff with the steam. It gave a crisp hem without, like, you know, going wild, because obviously I took these up 4 inches and not every wearer of these pants is going to need that hem.
And this is the reason you have dress rehearsal too.
Yeah.
So say you didn't press that hem in at all and you know, the night of dress rehearsal, the costumer should be sitting in the audience looking at hems, looking at zippers, looking at what shows and what doesn't show and what needs to be fixed. And you've got I had a clipboard. I guess now you could do it on your tablet or whatever. But, you know, I would write down, you know, steam pants hem or press steam pants hem or, you know, so-and-so, does so-and-so know he's wearing red socks? Because he can't do that. Or, you know, I mean, and when the director gives notes that night on the show, the costumer should be giving notes if there's something that the actors need to know about, like you got to bring in your own socks or whatever. Now, a lot of stuff, you know, the actor doesn't need to know that they need their pants.
Right, they just need give me your pants, right?
Yeah, it's just make sure everything gets hung up correctly.
This show has been very hard on clothing because so many people die, and how they die is you sit in the chair and he runs, you know, the razor across your throat, but he picks this ribbon out of the collar of your shirt or whatever. It's red, blood, you know. And then they didn't have, like, a rig up where, like, the chair falls back and the bodies just slide down. You have to, like, clutch your throat. And we did stage combat training for this. It was so fun. Okay.
Uh-huh.
You clutch your throat. He, like, kind of lowers you to the floor. And then he has to lift your legs into the trap door. And you have to act
you're, like poured you're, into the trap door.
Yes. So, also, there's a character called the Beggar Woman. And she gets pushed down onto the floor. I don't know.
It's 100
10
times.
And so there was one performance I was like, oh, her hem has been ripped out of her dress because she's stepping on it and she's running around in it. So yeah, it's been hard on the costumes. And then the Toby guy, he comes backstage. He's like, I just ripped out the back seam of my pants, the back crotch seam of my pants. He's a dancer.
Right.
And he, when he's acting, he's in this, like, second position grand plié,
right,
like all the time. So he's wearing these breeches that aren't supposed to stretch, you know, and so I had to sew those up by hand backstage one night. And then this is where the MVP thing comes in. So Joanna is supposed to wear this white dress and the zipper,
one that you've let the hems out the
no
act
different
out.
Dress different dress,
dress.
Yeah,
oh,
so
okay.
That was a gray dress.
Oh, okay.
All right, that dress is fine. Joanna's supposed to wear this white dress, and the zipper had an issue, and the costumer had fixed it, you know. But then it was where the pull is just coming off the zipper.
Uh-huh.
So she'd moved the pull up to, there were some damaged teeth, so those were no longer in the equation. But then it came off again, so I think the pull is just bad, right? And this is during a show. This is Sunday or something, I think. And I am backstage and they're like, oh my God, it broke. And they're like, we got a pinner in it. And I was like, okay. So, you know, everybody's like looking to me because they know I know how to sew. And I'm pinning her in it. And then they're like, can you sew her up in it? And I was like, yeah, I can, you know.
Right.
She'll come back here. But the way the show is set up, she has to stay on the other side of the stage for
right. She can't go
a
back.
Long time.
Right,
she can't come back. And like, I go over there, but then I normally come back. And I was so confused. And this little shout out to Monica. She was like my general.
Yes.
She was like, we are going to cross the stage to sing this part. And you're going to sew up her dress while you're back there. And I was like, wait, but I'm confused. She's like, just get what you need and cross the stage with me. I told her, I was like, I'm so confused. I don't know what I'm, you know, I know how to sew up the dress, but I was very confused about where everyone was supposed to be while this was happening, you know. So I, anyway, I go across the stage with my needle and thread singing. People said they wanted to hear me sing, and everything I sing is not very pretty in the show because I have to sing like the tenor part all the time.
Your low voice is like amazing.
I have to sing really low. I'm like singing like a man, you know, and I just don't know what I could sing that would sound nice over the podcast at all. But yeah.
Let me sew your dress.
I'm a tenor and in this show instead of being, you know, like a soprano. So I go across the stage and there's these blue rope lights back there. And that's how I have to thread the needle.
Right.
So I didn't have the needle threaded. And I sew up her dress and she's like, I have to go back on now. But her back doesn't show during this part. So I stick the needle into her collar in the back and I'm like, go, you know, and she comes back and I sew it up the rest of the way. And I take the needle and thread and I go to my next entrance and I turn to my man who I meet up with and I stick the needle inside his lapel of his coat.
Right.
And I forget that I have the thread tucked in my waistband and it falls out of my waistband next to this audience member who picks it up and gives it to me.
Did they?
Oh, that's and
nice.
I was like, well, that's nice. So anyway, and then we go back and I actually was able in the intermission to slice the zipper open and put the pull back on and just say, be very careful till this can be replaced.
Right.
So let's take a little break and then I can come back and tell you about what you don't, the thing I did that you don't know about.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Hey, Mom.
Yeah?
You can feel free to compliment me.
Oh, no. On what?
On this.
What?
My feel free to compliment me enamel lapel pin.
Oh, Mallory, every time that you hear something wrong, are you going to make a lapel pin about it?
Maybe. Do you want one?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well,
isn't it teal?
Yes, it's teal and pink, and you can get one by going to sewhere.com/compliment.
Just so you know, I'm not putting it on my lapel. It's going on my hat.
Oh, it's going on your hat. It could be a hat pin, too. Okay, all right. So if you want to get in on the feel free to compliment me in on the club, go to sewhere.com/compliment and order our very first sewhere.com lapel pin.
Sewing out loud.
All right. So I have a mustache buddy in the show who plays Pirelli, who is this quote Italian man who is not actually Italian. But anyway, he has to wear a mustache and he is one night, he puts this mustache on with spirit gum. So spirit gum is a skin adhesive.
Right.
And it's used to glue on facial hair or
anything.
What have you, you know. And I remember the makeup consultant being like, oh, I think you get the spirit gum off with oil. I don't have spirit gum remover, but you get it off with oil. And I was like, I don't think that oil dissolves the spirit gum. You know, I was like, is it oil or is it alcohol? You know, and she's like, I don't know. Let's Google it. And so alcohol dissolves spirit gum.
It does.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sure that spirit gum removers.
Acetone also.
I don't know about that. But I'm sure spirit gum removers do have like a moisturizer in them to protect
it's
your skin.
It's probably alcohol and oil
or
something.
Yes, like together, you know, to do that. And so anyway, he has to, this guy doesn't wear a mustache in the second act. He only wears it in the first act, okay? And I wear my mustache in the second act. So
But they're different mustaches.
Different mustaches. We thought we were going to have to share. And then I said we would be sisterhood of the traveling mustache.
That's right.
You know, but no, we get different mustaches. So he is taking off his mustache one night. And I've been helping a lot in this show, like a lot of different people. And I'm trying not to be a busybody. Like, I'm trying not to get all up in people's business.
Right.
And be like, come bring me your pants. I need to hem them, or this is broken, or whatever. I'm trying to be helpful and not like, you know, because I think that maybe I could do that. I don't know. Possible that's in my nature. So he's taking off his
trying
mustache.
Not to be a show mother.
Yes. Yeah. I'm being a mom. He's taking off his mustache. He's like, oh, Mallory, I think I've overdone it, you know. And he has like got an abrasion on his face.
He's ripped his skin off.
Yeah, so he's like ripped his skin off, you know, like bad, you know. And I was like, okay, so you don't have to wear a mustache for the rest of the show. And he's like, well, I wear it at the end, but I can just clip it, like it has a clip instead of doing the spirit gum. I was like, okay. So two things I did. I told him that he should put green makeup over it. Because it's very red.
Yes.
Okay. So you put green makeup over the red to neutralize the color. Right. And then you put your whatever your skin tone is on top of it. So that works. And he comes back to me. He's like, oh, my God. Thank you so much. You know. Next day, though, he still has this abrasion.
Yeah. He still has a boo-boo.
Yeah. And he's like, I don't know what to do. I got to stick this mustache on. And I said to him in this very diplomatic way, I was like, I think I have a solution if you wouldn't mind me. You know, messing with a few things and touching your face and stuff, you know. And he was like, okay. You know, he was very open-minded. So I took mic tape, which is like medical tape that you tape on, like
it's a
bandage.
Plastic tape.
Yeah, it's a plastic. It's like,
and it has air holes in it.
Yeah, yes. Okay. So it like it looks textured because it has these air holes, you know. So I took a piece of this mic tape and I cut it kind of long. And then I took another little short piece and I centered it in that piece. So part of this mic tape is not sticky, right? So he can put that over his abrasion. It's like a Band-Aid, sort of, right? And then he can put makeup on top of it. And he was like, okay, I'll give it a try. And I can tell he's trying to be real polite, right? So then we're in warm-ups, and I look at him, and I was like, oh, did he decide not to wear it? No, he was wearing it. It looked so good. I'm so smart. I'm so smart. I was so proud of myself. I was like, I didn't even know if this would work, you know? And he was like, thank you so much. And he could put spirit gum on top of that then, you know, to do his mustache. And I was like, I'm a genius.
So what that's actually called is double backing the tape.
I double back the tape. Right. And I just do – I want to credit my mom. ZD is a registered nurse, in case you don't know. And I really do think that
that helped you.
Yes, watching you, learning from you about, you know, everything. And I
everything has a solution.
I don't know. I just like, okay, we're going to make a moisture barrier and we're going to do, you know. Da, da, da. And I told him, I was like, do you have lanolin at home? Because I just think that would be really helpful, you know, to you just sleep with some lanolin. Because that's what I've been doing, you know, for some things. Anyway, I'm like, I don't mean to give you medical advice because I've told the listeners of the show, I'm not a doctor, but, you know. So anyway, yeah, that is that's what's going on. Now, we have one more costume thing. So I'm going to replace the zipper in Joanna's dress, right?
So you did or you didn't?
Haven't done it yet.
Is it here?
Going to do that. It's here.
Oh.
It's over there.
You got to do that within the next couple hours, don't you?
No. Oh. No, we don't have a show till Thursday.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I was thinking the theater was dark on Monday. Never mind.
No. Right,
never mind.
So going to replace the zipper there. And then Mrs. Lovett has this skirt that actually the costume designer built.
Right.
But it's growing on her.
Yes.
And so I was thinking of replacing the waistband with something more stable or re-interfacing it. And then ZD says.
I said, no, just basically make a channel inside the waistband and then you can put elastic in it and or a drawstring.
Yes.
Or you could put elastic drawstring.
Yeah. And you know what I just did?
And that way, too, you are not disrupting someone else's costume.
Well, and I do want to say, the director was like, can you fix this skirt?
Right.
And I said, who owns this costume?
Right. Yeah, you need to find that out.
I said, I would like to be respectful of her work. If she wants to fix it, let's tell her. does this belong to the production company
to the
now?
Theater, or
you
who?
Know, right. I was I tried to be...
costumes can belong to a lot of different
right
entities when you're in a, especially a community theater thing like that.
And this is the reason we have costumes in our costume closet is because you would make things and you bought the fabric so you kept it.
And a lot of times there are costumes I made specific. I kept like all of the costumes basically
for
made
us.
For you, except maybe something that might have been like in a dance troupe or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
You know, where I made 20 of them or something. But yes, if I built a costume for Hillary, I kept it. And a lot of times, and I was willing to pay for it because a lot of times the budget they gave me
it wasn't gonna
was
pay
crappy
for it anyway.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
I would take that budget and spread it, you know, whatever, spread it over the four other characters. And then, you know, I would pay for, you know, the costume that you know, our family member would have. And that way I also had more money to use on the others.
Yeah. So she, you know, we figured out that this costume was now going to belong to the production company.
Production. Okay.
And
so they paid her to make it for
yes,
the company.
Yes. And so I felt like I could,
right.
you know, do it. And this, because it wasn't really just a repair. It, mm-hmm. It's going to be like a modification.
Right.
You know?
Well, and the thing about putting the channel in there is then someone else may be able to wear it.
And they
and
can
it's
take
gonna go
it
right
out.
Around her waist. Well, but it's going to go right, you know,
yeah.
you can just pull that elastic or whatever you need to do.
It's not going to hurt anything. You know, I just did this to a pair of pants. Sam gave me a pair of pants for Zelda that are 5T.
Mm-hmm.
Zelda's 3. And they are so freaking cute. I wish these were my pants.
Yeah.
Like, I want her to wear them, you know, but they're too big. So I just cut some slits in the waistband and ran that buttonhole elastic
mm-hmm.
through, put two buttons in the front.
Yep.
And all good,
and
you know.
I and used, you know,
so
I used to do that.
Tighten those up.
On almost every skirt I made that I
yeah.
would build is basically the back of the waistband would be a channel.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'd put buttonholes in the waistband, you know, just the inside of the waistband, and run elastic through there, buttonhole elastic or whatever. And then I would have, you know, I would be able to, you know, there would be several buttonholes in the elastic, or there would be, you know, different buttons at different places to pull that tight. Because you can take something up 4 or 5 inches.
So,
like
yeah,
that.
I have a question for you. Maybe we should look at this together. The buttonhole elastic that we have that
uh-huh.
has the buttonholes in it, I feel like it's not quite substantial enough.
Right.
But I could sew two of them together. I could butt them up like it'd be wider, you know.
Oh, okay. You mean you want something thicker?
Yeah.
Well, here's the other thing you can do is you do not have to make the entire thing out of the buttonhole elastic. You can make it out of something else and just put the buttonhole elastic on the ends.
At the
too.
End. Okay.
So there's a couple of different ways you can
okay,
do that.
Okay. So we're going to look at this and we'll be able to, you know, figure out if and how I want to do that. Because the buttonhole elastic that you often buy is intended for kids' waistbands, right? Like it's often.
Right. Or like sometimes a sports thing or something that doesn't. Is not like heavily constructed.
Yeah, so
yeah.
when we say buttonhole elastic, this is
right.
elastic. It's just all along it has.
Right. Or what you can do is you can put in elastic or heavy elastic like you want.
Uh-huh.
And then on the ends of that elastic, you make an extension and you put several buttonholes in.
You know what you've also done?
So, you know, now you've got a sturdier buttonhole.
Yeah, you've also I've seen you
hook an eye tape.
Yeah, well, and make like little, you know, like the back of a bathing suit, like that
right.
kind of hook.
Right, that's
you know,
what I've done. Like
yes,
a, uh-huh.
and done a few channels in the
Absolutely,
elastic.
Absolutely, that's
that.
Exactly what I've done.
No, yeah, that's a good idea. So I'll look at this and see exactly what we want to do for this waistband. I'll ask you what.
But
I'll
if that waistband is. So I well, we'll look at it. If that waistband is not stable, we need to stabilize it.
Right.
You know, and then need to think about how we're going to take it up or make it so that it can be altered back and forth.
Right, right. Yeah. And keeping it alterable,
and, you know,
I
you
think
could
is
do,
good.
You know, I used to do that in jackets, too, where I run a channel in the back of the jacket, you know, and then
uh-huh.
I would have it, twill tape or elastic or whatever. And that would gather up the back of that jacket.
There was a shirt, and this costumer didn't do this, so I feel like
right.
I can kind of laugh at this. This shirt, I don't know if someone was trying to tighten something up or if it was there for some other kind of like stunt or something, But Pirelli was like, I don't know why this is here. And I guess he's actually worked in a couple costume shops. Right. There's like this string of leopard print fold over elastic sewn in the inside of like the waist of the shirt.
Just to take it up?
No, I think it was to hold something because it wasn't, it was only sewn down the ends.
Holding a prop or something.
Or something like that. Yeah, so there was some kind of, you know, they'd rigged this somehow. Right. He's like, I just don't know why this is here. I was like, well, we can take that out, you know. And so actually he took that out himself, but that was so funny. We were just like, I don't know what this is for.
Well, sometimes you'll run into a garment where there's a mic, a pocket for a mic cap built in.
Yes.
A mic pack built in.
And actually, I have been tucking my mic pack into a pair of high-waisted underwear.
Uh-huh.
And I actually want to make myself a pair of high-waisted underwear that just has a mic pack pocket in it.
Yep.
And I don't like wearing the mic belt as well as this. You know?
Yeah, well, usually mic belts are really crappy.
Actually, they had some really nice ones.
Did they have some good ones?
Okay. They were this thick elastic.
Oh, okay.
They looked very new, and I thought, finally, like, why are mic belts not on elastic?
I know.
Right? Like, what?
I know.
Okay.
I know.
And then, there was one more thing I was going to talk about with the elastic and the rigging and the taking out, and I can't remember what it was, but yeah, that leopard print fold over elastic,
couldn't figure it out, right?
I know what I was going to say. The Beetle has this wonderful vest. It's like orange and purple and pink plaid.
Yeah, it is a really cool vest.
It's really
cool. I like it too.
Okay, it's had like these panels added into it.
Over and over again.
To add, I don't know how many inches.
Width. Yeah.
And then they were taken up.
Yeah.
And then I took them out again.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So it looks, she said, she goes, just take all these out. Don't worry about how it looks.
But leave your coat on.
She said, don't take your coat off, Beetle. He keeps the coat on the whole time, you know? And it was just, it's so funny, the patchwork of this vest that's been taken in and taken out.
Now,
and da, da, da.
I used to make vest fronts and not backs and just put like, you know, basically a strap system across the back.
That's smart.
So you don't even have to have a back. You could just have a front.
You just have the front on
you
there.
It depends on what you're using it for.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you can't always do that.
And a lot of times I do that if it was like fabric that I really wanted to use and I didn't have enough of or something like that. But you could make it, you know, where it fits anybody forever.
Mom, I didn't say another thing that really makes me an MVP.
Okay.
I knitted a snood.
Oh, that's right. You knitted a snood.
I knitted a snood.
Because we couldn't find our snood.
Well, first of all, I was going to bring a snood, which would have made me an MVP anyway. Because the makeup artist, hair designer lady is like, oh, she should have a snood or something. And she had tried this. Joanna looks like Joanna. Okay. This beautiful young woman.
This woman has
just below her waist length. Blonde yellow hair, which they sing about in the show.
Yes.
It just has to be curled a little bit. And then she's so beautiful and she has the most beautiful voice. It was, I mean, she walked in for the auditions. We were all like, oh, well,
that's
there
Joanna.
She is, you know. She is so beautiful.
No, she's like Rapunzel of the modern day.
And you know what she just played in college?
It was Rapunzel
in Into the Woods. She looks.
So she's done Sondheim. Back to
That's right. Sondheim, which I think is like the name of a show. Sondheim in the park or whatever. You know, anyway, so she has this beautiful long hair and they have her play like in the past, her mother. And they want her to look a little different.
So she's got to get, we got to sort of get that hair disguised.
Yes.
And the snood was a very good idea.
And so I
other than a cheap, dumb wig.
Okay. Yes. Right. And the hair person was like, I wanted a snood, but I could only find these flesh tone, like these beigey fishnets. And she put the fishnets on her hair. And it really looked like a part of the body.
I was going to say, it looked like,
you know what? Oh, first of all,
that
snoods.
Looks like a bag.
Yes. Snoods already look like
that's
that.
Right,
no matter
that's
how.
Right, that's right.
No matter what they look like. No matter
because
how many.
They're a bag.
Yes. No matter how many jewels you put on there, it looks like a hair, you know what. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we should mark this explicit, but you know. Okay. They already look like a bag of, you know.
Hair.
Okay.
Yes.
So I was like, Tori, that really looks like, you know, and she was like, it does. And I was like, I think I have a snood at home. She goes, why do you have a snood at home? And I was like, well, I, and you know, the only thing I could come up to describe myself during this whole process, Canadians, I want to be like, I'm just a keener. I'm just like, I have this. I'll make the pies. I'll do that. I'll do this. My husband can come and be an extra one night. Da, da, da. I was like, shut up, Mallory. Like, what is wrong with you? Why are you doing this?
We have a boat.
We have a boat. I'll do that.
Oh, I have a great Dane that could be in this place.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, what is wrong with me? I talked to my therapist about this. I was like, I just, you know, I didn't want to eat crappy pies and I wanted nice costumes and stuff. And she's like, yeah, that's good, Mallory. You know, and I was like, okay. You know, so.
Well, part of what got Mallory into this too is actually the founder of the theater is in the show.
Yes.
Okay, he has just retired from being on the board, and he is now going to be a player and go do, because he's like my age. Actually, I think he's a little bit younger. But he had children the same age of Lindsay, I believe. Maybe Lindsay and same age as somebody that I had children the same age of. And did you ever figure out if we went to New York together?
No, I'll ask him.
I don't know if we either went to New York together or we went to Disney World in Orlando together with him. And, you know, so he knows the history of us, like, in costuming and being able
to
pull, you know, these things out of, you know, out of our ears.
Out of our ears.
Yeah.
We had those clothing organization tags.
Yes.
And I guess some of them got left in some sunlight. And they got yellowed, so we could no longer sell them.
Right, right.
Like, we used to sell
these. So you took
those? I took those. It's like, do you need some costume organization tags? And people are just, why do you have this stuff? Like, you know, and I'm like, I just run a theater company out of my house. Like, I whatever.
Well, and it's...
And you know what? Monica's trying to get me to go to an audition tonight for another show. And I'm like, you just want me to make all your stuff, you know?
She just wants to make sure she's covered, yeah, so to speak.
Yes, exactly.
Well, you know, people do come here and they can't believe... Well, I think Hillary said that one time. She said, somebody said they needed something. She said, oh, I think I can go get that at my mom's house. And they said, who is your mother?
What's going on? Yeah. Oh, well, we provided the whip.
Yeah, that's right. We had the whip too.
So in the show, the judge does some like self-flagellation and he's a gross man. And they needed this, you know, they tried to describe it as like a cat of nine tails, but it's not. It's whatever a self-flagellation whip is called, like that monks would use or something. So it's shorter and you're supposed to be able to whip
yourself.
So
guess what,
back.
Guys? We had a leather whip.
Like, I got, ZD has one, and we found it while we were cleaning the studio, and I tried to get rid of it.
She tried to throw it away, and I said, you know, we might use that whip someday.
And darned it, if you weren't
right,
Mom.
That's
you know,
right.
So is this, it says Six Flags for America. It's supposed to be like an
but
Indiana.
But it's leather.
Yes, it's
leather. And wood. It really is.
It's supposed to be like an Indiana Jones whip.
Right.
So I brought it in. I said, this isn't quite right. But then I like folded up the
We decided that it could be like
part.
Folded up and taped.
And I said, you can tape it. You know, and they're using it. And I made the pies. Yeah, I don't know. I just. But then I
forgot about the whip because actually when we were doing it, I said to my husband, we were sitting
that's
there.
That's my
said,
whip.
That's our whip. He goes, we have a whip like that?
So
I said, well, it's been altered.
I explained the term keener to my cast members.
Oh, good.
I said, guys, I run a sewing group and the Canadians, you know, they call like somebody who's sort of like a suck up or a teacher's pet, like a keener. And I feel like that's what I've been being with all of this, you know. And I said, but what's our term? Because I don't think we really have a term in, you know, U.S.
You mean like jack of all trades? No, that wouldn't be it.
And it's
that
not really.
Because it wouldn't be the same.
And it's not a brown noser. It's not a suck up. It's not a teacher's pet. You're just like.
Amazing.
Just. So amazing. Yes, exactly. You know, you're just like, you're a busybody a little bit, but I don't know.
And you're innovative. I don't know. I don't know.
You're just a keener.
I think we have to steal it.
I think
borrow
so.
Borrow it.
And I did, I think there were a couple other things I just shut my mouth on because like, people are probably sick of hearing me volunteer for crap. Like, you know.
I really do think there needs to be some bathroom rubber strips put where that guy makes the turn to go out like
oh yeah
he's gonna break his
we do have rosin For the shoes, but
yeah, but Rosin will not work on concrete, I can tell you that.
Well, anyway, so he
Rosin won't do crap.
ZD is concerned about
in
Anthony.
Fact, Rosin is made out of pine tar and it might even be slick.
You think
on
it might make
floor.
It slicker?
Yeah, yeah. So, he's probably better off if you give him like a cheese grater for his shoes.
And they did tell people to put grippies on their shoes. And then someone did say, oh, my shoes,
I think
apart.
He needs a little bathtub. I think you need to put bathtub treads there.
Okay.
But, you know.
So there's the part in the play, in the musical. Actually, you know what? It's an operetta,
is that what
if you didn't know.
Well, yeah, because there's very little speaking.
Yeah, there's very,
correct.
There is a lot of singing. And there's a part in the Pies song where we're all eating the pies, okay?
Right.
And the song is called God, That's Good.
Yes, I love that song. It's one of my favorites.
I had not, you know, I wasn't actually super familiar with the show, with the music before doing this.
The pie song,
her pie song is so funny.
And God, That's Good are my two favorite songs. So, well, By the Sea's all right, too.
So anyway. The lyrics to that, just on top of sewing and everything, they are so weird.
Yes.
And the ending of it, I'm going to try and sing it real quick for you all. It's not very pretty. And I normally sing it very loud. And I have to tell you that I won the Diction Award from the Inner Rim, not your friend who is the music, the director, but the person who was like originally supposed to direct the show came in and he was like, Mallory wins the contest for diction because, you know, it's very important, especially in a small space with a small cast.
That's correct.
So at the end of the song, we sing, God, that's good, that is D. Have you licious ever tasted, smelled such, oh my God, what more? That's perfect, pie's such flavor, God, that's good. And those are the real words to the song. And so anyway, Stephen Sondheim is a crazy person.
Yeah.
And
most of his plays are very difficult to sing.
They are very difficult to sing. And I don't even have the hardest music in the show at all, you know, by any stretch of the imagination. So there I am singing some of the words. So you can find us on Instagram. We are at ZD Sewing Studio. And ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.